What did you come out to see? It is our expectations that determine our perception. If you remember the old comedian Flip Wilson always used to say, what you see is what you get. We can tweak that a little bit and say, what it is you seek is probably what you get. You've been invited to the opera. Oh dear. You're going to hear something sung in a language you don't know. You're not used to opera. It's going to be horribly boring. And so you go and, yep, you got what you got. It was boring. You go to a party, or you're invited to a party amongst people that you don't know so well, and you know a little bit about what kind of a group they are, and it's going to be not very fun, and so you go and it's not very fun. Our expectations are composed of the outer facts combined with our inner attitude, and often that shapes our experiences. I saw this happen just this very week. A friend of mine was scrolling on a website through pictures on a dating site, and the dating site is for seniors. Seniors who might be widows or widowers or just divorced, and they're looking for that final companion to go through the rest of the final years of their life with. And he's scrolling through, and all of a sudden he stops. There's a woman, and her picture has really stopped him, but for a different reason than you expect. This is a woman whose features, once you get through the makeup, whose features are rather plain and simple. Nothing really outstanding. Her lips, her makeup is done according to old school thinking. Her lips were absolutely brilliant ruby red. She had applied rouge to the cheekbones, and she did not do it well. It did not blend into the skin color. And finally, there was the mascara, which in her thinking had to have been, you have to accentuate the eyes, and so I'm going to put this thick mascara about a half an inch thick all the way around the eyes. I'm sorry, but my friend and I looked at that, and it's like very close to being an owl, or maybe a raccoon. Sorry to make fun of her, but you put it all together, and I can think this woman wants to put her face out there to attract somebody, and that's what she puts out. She saw herself in the mirror and said, yeah, this is good. This is the way I've always used makeup, and I must be still attractive. Our expectations determine how we see things. I'm sure she must have seen herself as still attractive. My friend and I saw it as, unfortunately, garish. Not pleasant. So, how do we go through Lent together? As I indicated to Tyler, I'm indicating also to you, what are you seeking this Lent? We cannot go through Lent just living our lives and attending church. So I'm asking you this question. If you can think of one thing, what is it that you would be seeking for yourself in this Lenten season? Jesus, I think, has two answers for us. One is to be about the business of looking for the signs of the age to come. As opposed to John the Baptist, who was looking for giant things to happen, Jesus is calling for us to look for the small signs. You remember the incident of the story of the loaves and fishes in John's version of it. The day after that miracle, Jesus cannot be found. Where did Jesus go? And he's down in Capernaum. So the crowd goes to Capernaum to find Jesus. They find him, and Jesus turns to them and says, "You seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Why did they come? We're still hungry? That was a great performance. Can you do it again? Now, Jesus is not being resentful. In fact, if anything, Jesus is grieved of the fact that what they saw the previous day, they did not regard as a sign of the age to come. They weren't asking themselves or each other, can we expect more of this happening in our lives? Is our culture, our history changing in this new and miraculous way, this opening up of our lives to the coming of the kingdom of God? And that is why Jesus told so many stories pointing to ways to begin looking. Notice the leavening that is put into bread and what it does. Have you ever noticed the smallness of mustard seeds? Have you ever thought about what a pinch of salt does? Have you ever considered the lilies of the field? Have you thought about the simple act that we go through every day, the breaking and the sharing of bread? All of those he turned into signs and meaning in terms of how the coming of the age of God is coming into our lives. There was a uprising decades ago in Attica, the penitentiary in Attica. Some of you might still remember it. And once that was finally quelled, of course, there were very strong and repressive measures put into place to make sure that didn't happen again. But of course, families in nearby New York wanted to know about their loved ones that were in prison. How did they fare? Can we come and surround you with our love and see how things are going now? And unfortunately, the prison has no place for them for many families to come and be with the prisoners. So they inquired about a couple of nearby churches, and the nearby churches, of course, were very afraid and said, "Oh, no, we're not going to open up our doors to allow that kind of thing happening in our facilities." And then one pastor wrote back to them and said, "If you bring up some busloads of people, I'll see to it that you can meet in my home." And they were so gracious. They brought gifts, mostly gifts of food, so that the meeting would also be a celebration with a meal. Another sign of the coming of the age of God. In addition to looking for the signs, the other thing that Jesus encourages us to do is also to go ahead and plant the seeds, to allow these particular things to happen. And to do things in small ways. Even in our divisive times, one of the things we can do is to turn away wrath by answering people softly. If you feel that you have been despised, or the other political party has said things that really disturb you, we can pray for them. We can pray for our divisiveness. We can win over enemies through love. We can overcome evil with good. We can share our goods with those who are needy. All these little things that all of us can do, multiplied by hundreds, thousands of people doing them, helps bring in the kingdom of God. Finally, there's the story of an ecumenical group in a large city that said, you know, we have these tenements, and there's a lot of elderly people that are living there, and they don't belong to any churches, and we feel that they, if possible, they could be visited. So a number of churches got together and went about visiting them and kept that program going for years. Those who felt that nobody cared about them, it could be seen over time that they were, shall we say, coming back to life. And some decided to join a church. There was one woman who had been somewhat mentally disturbed because of all the tragedy in her life. And over these many visitations and feeling the love of the people who had come to visit her, she finally came to the point where she could finally confront those tragedies in her life that had sort of put her a little bit over the edge. And to think about those people and begin forgiving them in her life. The result was she began listening to others and empathizing with them. She reestablished the broken relationships she had with the people in her own family and became interested in life and all of its fun activities as well. And of course, this ecumenical group went to the state government and the federal government and said, these are the problems that we're having in these tenements with these various people. Can you do something about your laws? And at least got things going at that level and knew that it would be a long time of wait to see if anything would come of it. You know, the wheels of government turn very slowly if there's not that much interest. And in the meantime, they continued their ministry in spite of it all. Tomorrow you will step out into the world to do whatever you do. What will you seek? Will you be seeking more of the kingdom of God to come into your life? Because there's a promise, and that is what you seek, you may find. Amen.